Today on the Football Coaches Podcast, we're going to talk coaching the centers with Coach Stockland.
You're listening to the Football Coaches Podcast, built by coaches for coaches.
We're going to discuss X's and O's,
team administration,
program building,
wide receiver play,
player relationships,
your go-to resource.
I'm Coach Stockland.
And I'm Coach Kaysen. Let's work together and make us better.
Today we get to talk about a player that gets to touch the ball every single time, every single play, and doesn't ever get the recognition that he deserves. So today, Coach Stockland is going to take us through how to coach the centers, how to coach the snap, and the first step, you know, importantly, and how to do those things properly, and more importantly, how to fix the issues that we all have, because we've all moved to this, you know, mostly everybody's in a shotgun snap, and a lot of things can go wrong when you add 4 to 5 yards of separation. And another thing that we'll talk about, Coach can talk about how what changes when you go under center for the snap. All right, Coach. So what we're gonna have you do is talk us through the snap first, because the snap starts everything.
Okay. So first off, obviously the snap is the most important part of play. That is how every play in football on the offensive side begins, is with the snap. So the first thing that I always tell my centers is when I first meet them or I first get a new kid is first I tell them to find what's comfortable. There's a lot of different ways to snap the ball. I preferably only use two. Everybody differs, but it's fine what's comfortable to them. You know, some players might like what I call the dead ball snap. Some people may like the normal, you know, the normal snap. But find what's comfortable to you. And then after we get into that, I tell them, you never want to because every time a center goes to touch the ball, they want to squeeze the life out of the ball. And in my opinion, squeezing the life out of the ball is not what you want, because when you squeeze the ball most of the time, that's when the ball begins to do stuff you don't want it to do or you don't have as much control over it, if that makes sense. So You always tell them, don't grab it. You know, be gentle with it. Now, don't be so loose hand with it to where you go to try to snap it, it flobbles out your hand. But don't be so tight with it to where when you go to release it, you cannot release it. That is the most important, you know, one of the most important parts. And also, I tell them is find the best release point. And what I mean by release point is the one thing a center will always get blamed for. I don't care winning, losing, I don't care what it is if the snap rolls or if the snap goes too high. A center always gets blamed. Coach Kaysen said earlier, you know, they don't get that much praise, but when the snap rolls or the snap goes high, the first thing every coach, every fan, every player is screaming is the daggone center. All right, so I always tell them to find a release point. So most of the times, and I say most of the time because I want to say about 75% of the time, when the ball rolls, it's because they're releasing the ball at the ground. They're not getting the ball high enough. Or when the ball sails over the quarterback head and he does the famous jump and da-da, and he doesn't get the ball, it's because they're releasing the tip of the ball too far up their butt. So that usually causes the balls to shoot in the air. I always tell them you want to release in the center, all right? Split. You want to always split yourself down the middle and release right down the center of it.
So how do you coach that point?
So the way I always say it is to get the ball released in the center of you is you always want to have your forearm or your wrist, and depending on the center, how he may be short, tall, but you want to always have the wrist hitting you in the center of your body.
Right in the butt crack.
Right in the butt crack. Now, to piggyback on that, the next part that you also have to remember is to get the releasing point to where it's supposed to be. Do not, and I mean for whatever stake in this world, get your wrist to flick, because about shooting a basketball, all right? I'm not a basketball player, but, you know, people play basketball. We watch basketball. And you see all the times when a basketball player goes to shoot the ball, he does what with his wrist? We all do the flick wrist.
Hey, you know? Drops it, puts his hand in the cookie jar, flips it.
Yeah. You put your hand right in the cookie jar. Yeah, we never want to do that. Because when you put your hand in the cookie jar.
How do you coach what coaching points do you use to keep that wrist from flicking?
So to keep your hand, I like that analogy, out of the cookie jar, If I see it's a habit and you cannot, like, it's just something that you do, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to take your risk. I'm going to take your risk to force you to be able to not, for that risk, don't move. Okay. Because as soon as you get movement with that risk, that's when that ball goes too high.
Yeah.
And you may even roll it. So you always want to keep your wrist as tight as you possibly can. That's easier said than done, because a lot of, you know, centers that we get at the lower level, you know, they're probably used to being up on the center, and, you know, the middle school coaches or however, you know, do a lot of under center stuff because it's easier. But I always take the wrist. And if I find that, you know, you have that flicky wrist, I'm going to take your wrist. But what I want to do is I want to take it not on Friday nights. I want to take you Monday through Thursday, because what I want to happen is you get so much repetition at it to the point where I don't have a need to take a wrist anymore, because that flipping of the wrist becomes, you know, unnatural. So it doesn't happen.
Do you use the coaching point of locking the wrist, like to lock the wrist?
You can use that perfect analogy. Don't flick it. I like what you just said in locking it, because that's truly what you're doing. You're locking your wrist to stop it from getting any extra movement. Because once the ball gets into a certain area, it's kind of in no man's land. You know what I mean? It's kind of out there. So you want to be able to control that process as much as you can for as long as you can.
Do you teach them to grab the laces or not laces, or do you care?
I'm big, because it's always worked for me. I haven't had an issue with it. So until the day comes that it doesn't work, I'm going to use it. I'm going to always tell them to grab the laces.
And the
reason I tell them to grab laces is because, like I said, you have more control over the football.
Yeah. Like the fat part of the ball, or the thin part of the ball, like kind of how a quarterback throws it, or
So in our initial O-line coach center meeting, I tell them to grab the ball, all right, as if they were throwing it, because that's kind of similar to what it is a little bit, but it's kind of on that fine line. And also, I make a point. So most of the time, I wasn't a center, but you know, just now coaching O-line, I take my index finger, which is your first finger, on the other side of your thumb, is you have two options with that. That can be on the tip of the ball, or if you don't like that feeling, or if the ball is moving to having too much movement, or anything like that, then you put it on the side of the ball. So you, instead of having your hand at, what's that, 2 o'clock?
Yeah.
Then your fingers need to be at, 3 o'clock. Yeah, I like that. It needs to be at 3 o'clock, because sometimes even with some players having that finger on the tip of the ball, that's when the ball does a little flitter.
Yeah, I'm sitting here form fitting my hand to a ball. In a way, it kind of feels like a Nike check, a Nike switch
between your
thumb and your finger.
Yes,
I like that
to me gives them way more control than just
is there something, you know, having the laces. Is there a certain things or some things about the stance, not including the arm, that can harm or hurt, you know, harm or benefit the snap? Like if my, I don't know exactly, like if there, is there any like things about the stance that you would say can hurt the snap?
Yeah. I don't, and one of my biggest things, you don't want to be too narrow, right? Okay. And narrow means you don't want your feet, your base to be so close, because I mean, you're the center. You know, you have to get a object between your legs at a decent rate of speed. So if you come up with a narrow base, you know, even honestly, just the way you're standing, that's not, to me personally, that's not good, because now you're trying to fit the ball in a tight spot. And when you're fitting in that tight spot, that's when your base is narrow. That's most of the time when that ball is going to, it's gonna go over everybody's head into the back of the end zone.
So what's your landmark for the width? You know, if I was go shoulder width or however long width, what would be your landmark?
So I usually say shoulder width apart with an extra step.
Okay? So take the shoulder width and then bring both feet out just, one.
Yep, take them. So shoulder width apart and then take one more.
Okay.
So and now you're in a good, not only center position stance to snap the ball, but you're also in a good stance to do your next job.
Yeah.
Right? And we'll get to that.
Yeah, absolutely. The more important. My question is can you be too wide? What would happen if you were too wide?
So
because I feel like a lot of a lot of guys put that chunky guy at center that's at got center. Some brains but can't really move real well.
So,
and it seems like a lot of them end up looking like, you know, sumos the way they get down.
So there is me personally, and I've when, you know, we had the opportunity to coach together, you know, we had to do what we had to do, and I had a guy who was that guy. But it doesn't hurt, honestly, to me personally, it's better, you know, if I can get you in that sumo stance. But it also, it harms the second part of your job.
Yeah, makes the second part.
It goes against everything that I coach personally about stance and all that stuff. So it's like, it's a good cop, bad cop thing.
Yeah.
And honestly, we're all told, you know, we'll work around that, but you have to get the ball to the quarterback. Yeah. So personally, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, but now if he can move, you know, if he can move that way and, you know, do the second part of his job, then that would be perfect to me, because now you take away the margin for error of that ball either going, you know, too high or, you know, or rolling. You're taking that away because, you know.
So before we get – because it's going to shorten his gait. Before we get to the steps and things like that the center has to do is to actually block people, what – can you help the listener fix some frequently asked, like, you know, troubleshoot some frequent problems, as in the ball going too high or the ball going, you know, the roller ball or those type of things? Is there certain things, like, say you get a kid that's rollerball and everything, what is the first thing you're going to do to help fix him, other than taping the wrist?
So if I have a rollerball, all right, and a guy who likes to roll, the biggest and this is a cop-out statement, but I'm going to explain why. The first thing that I go to, if I see that you can't get the ball there with your normal, you know, the normal old school snap, is we got to go to a dead ball snap.
Okay.
You know, is where you put the ball, you know, you put the tip of the ball in the ground, you have the tip of the ball. And the reason I personally do that is because it is very hard to roll the ball in that nature.
Yeah.
All right. The only way you can roll the ball is if, one, you're just being lazy, and you're not moving the ball, you're just rolling it literally on the ground. Doing it that way, it forces you to literally have the ball and go straight back. Or the next, you know, the next part of what I tell him, if he's rolling the ball and he can't do the dead ball snap, if he's rolling it that way, what I would tell him is to focus on that release point. And I don't work for Huddle in any type of way, but Huddle has a great app. Huddle technique, where I did it a lot, is where I would stand behind the center and I would record him, but you can slow it down to a millisecond to see exactly where he's releasing the ball at, because most of the time when you roll the ball, it's all because of you're releasing the ball on the ground, and if you're doing that, then you're worried about something else, your mind is not focused. I don't care about all the other type of stuff after the snap. I need the snap to get there. So if you're worried about a one technique in front of you, brother, I hate to say it, but I need the snap to go first. Then you shift your mind, because that is the most, you know, important part of the play.
So what about a shotgun snap that goes left or right? Because I've noticed, and this is so us watching some of the XFL stuff, and, you know, watch as much college ball, and you get, you know, NFL and all the levels, and you get that behind the O-line video, that film. And sometimes you'll see, and this is, I guess, an adjustment they make, you'll see a quarterback be to the right or left of a center because he snaps it that way. Is that a way to fix that, or is that a way to remedy that, or is there a way to fix a guy who can't snap directly backwards?
So there's two things that I can say off of that. If I see that my center is getting back there, has great velocity, but it's going to the right a little bit, I'm walk over to two people, probably three, depending on, you know, how the head coach is. I'm walking over and say, "Hey, coach, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna tell the quarterback coach that we need to slide the quarterback over to the right or left, depending on however, you know, because I'm not gonna fix something that's technically not broken."
Yeah,
if that makes sense. You know, it's getting there. You know, we're getting the playoff, but it's just a little, you know, a little to the right. Then hey, take a hair over or take a step over, and I'm walk up to the quarterback coach and say, "Hey, man, you know, me just being a center and the O-line coach, we need to move the quarterback over a little bit just to accommodate it. If it's not broken, I'm not going to stress about it. It's getting there. It's doing what I need it to do." And then also, and I'm going back to the same statement again, is the release point. Mm-hmm. You know, so one way when a center walks up to the ball, they do a lot of different things with it. They either move it, you know, roll it to the right or mm-hmm. to the left, whichever their preference is. But the biggest thing in sometimes when the ball goes left or right is because when he gets to the ball, it's not dead in his center. I mean, the ball is either
– You cut out right then, Coach. I want you to say that again.
Oh, I'm sorry. So when he gets to the ball is not in the dead center of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's either rolled to the right or it's rolled to the left. It's not the dead center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's just maybe how he likes it. You know, he may not like the ball right in the center because, you know, we're fat guys. We may not feel we're comfortable, you know, with our arm all the way across. So he wants his arm to be as straight as possible. I'm okay with that. Long as the job gets done.
Yeah.
Kind of a left side note thing, I think that's where young coaches like us is actually better sometimes because, you know, old school coaches, you know, you got to do it this way, that way, this way.
Mm-hmm.
If it's getting a job done for me and it's comfortable to you and we're successful with it, hey, man, you're playing on Friday nights, I'm not.
Yeah. So my next one would be, say you guys getting it there, your guy, the ball is physically getting back there. The accuracy is perfect. Everything's fine, but it's lacking velocity. Is that a release point issue, or is there another way to fix that? Does it need to be a true, like not only just the word snap, but he like re-snaps it back or something of that nature?
Yeah, and it's nothing to the release point. And me, and if you ever talk to anybody, any center I've ever coached, I just tell them you got to put a little oomph on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to put a little strength on it because most of the time, centers get up there and they're so worried about what snapping it over his head, mm-hmm. you know, that they take away the extra little bit of strength that should be there.
Yeah.
So I just tell him, put a little bit of mustard on it, put some oomph on it. You know, don't go back there and try to be a Brett Favre and just launch it back there. You know, but put a little bit of extra strength on it to make sure that obviously, you know, it's getting there to him in a quicker time. And that's the worst thing for a quarterback is to be sent back there waiting on a snap to come.
So how does the procedure work? That's great stuff. How does the procedure work? Do you want your center, or does it matter, or do you want your center to literally, like, he gets down? I know a lot of them get down. They get to their squat. Some of them touch the ball. Some of them don't. Should they all, or is it a law that you have to look back at, like, the quarterback, or what you need to be, where your eyes need to be?
So
what's your operating system is. That makes sense.
It all depends. And the reason I said it all depends is because if I have a guy who, you know, is doing everything right and is just either to the tad left or tad right, then hey, you know, the quarterback can adjust, you know, to him. But me starting off first day, I want you to come up, get your stance, find a quarterback, make sure that you all are in a good relation. You know, and mm-hmm. then you go through everything. But, you know, that should only take 2 seconds, you know. Old school, break the huddle, break. All right? Look back. All right? Then you start, you know, working your, you know, your calls and all that good stuff. But initially, yes, I want you to find the quarterback. I want you to find out who it is. I want you to make sure, because I don't want any – the biggest thing I hate about coaching is when a player comes to me and say, well, I thought. I hate that. Hate the mm-hmm. word I thought. You know, I want us to be 100% sure about everything. So get there, find a quarterback, then let's play.
So before we get into the steps, which is a very crucial part, and what makes a really good center, it makes his job different than a guard, I think. Before we get there, what changes if you go under center? Okay. Or can you also, after you're done with this, go over – does anything change for a pistol alignment? So instead of five, maybe he's at like four or anything like that. But do the
so under to center. Me, yes. So under center, it changes. I am so if I'm a team, I know that we're going under center. All right, you cannot dead ball snap under center.
Okay, that's a good note. And I did not know that.
I am terrified of that because I mean, think about it. Dead ball.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, the ball is coming.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming like a
It makes straight sense. Up and
it
down.
It makes physical sense. Yeah.
You know, I can analyze it. The way I learned, you know, center play is, you know, if you're on the center, the quarterback, you know, if you know you do the old school, you know, tap underneath, make sure he's there. I want to give him Okay, I want to give him the laces. So I am not going to use the laces under center.
Okay.
Because I want the quarterback to have the laces. Because me being, you know, other than the line coach, the one thing I hate is coming up on the center, he takes the ball, and the quarterback is doing what? He's fumbling with the football. Mm-hmm. I hate that. All right, give him the laces. So as soon as he takes it, he can get his drop, and you know it may be a quick
throw. So with the laces, is it straight back or do you turn it? Because I've seen
so my way I've always did is I want to turn him
hand
the laces.
It, hand it to him like a hamburger instead of a hot dog.
Yes, I want to turn him the laces.
Okay.
I want to turn the laces to him. I want to turn him the ball. So like I said, the only thing he has to do is take it
mm-hmm.
and go.
Yep.
I don't want him flipping, fobbling, turning, whatever, all that good stuff. I want him to get the ball and just play. So, yes, I want to turn him the ball, like you say, hamburger style, instead of trying to make it go hot dog style, long style. I want to give him the ball, give him as much, cut down his play as much as least as possible. And the easiest way, you know, if your play call dictates it, quarterback will walk up and tap him on the hip. Hey, I'm on the center.
Yeah,
you know, or you'll know
when the quarterback comes up for you. You're gonna feel it.
Yeah, and he gives you that little tuck, and also a little side note. I personally, so if we go to the line and the you know quarterback, if your stance is different than under center, the quarterback obviously is going to do what? He's going to push you up a little bit. I try to tell the quarterback don't push him up so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because that's what's natural to him because he has a job.
As in his butt, you're saying to push his butt up.
Pushes. Because you know, most guys come up and they
yank
him up.
It's not natural to bend down that low for a lot of guys, especially if you've got a shorter, squattier center. I see what you're saying.
Right. You know, I don't mind you pushing, you know, kind of bringing him up a little bit, but don't throw him up because, you know, he's not natural. You know,
that's not natural for the center. I think that's a good point because I think if you look at it, you know, if your knees aren't bent well, like offensive lineman is different in the sense of D lineman. The reason they don't put all the pressure down is they have to go all four different directions. They got to go multi-directional. So if you lock the knees up a little bit more and hips push back so much farther a little bit, you know, you can only go one direction.
One way.
You're going to fall step. I think it's a really good point. So my question is, and this is straight me being watching a lot of football on TV before. So you'll always hear the announcers when they used to be under – it doesn't happen as much because they're not under center as much. When they used to be under center a ton at all levels, and they would say you can tell whose fault the center quarterback exchange was based on where the ball dropped. So if the ball dropped directly down, the analyst, the commentator on TV would say that it's the quarterback's fault because it dropped down. What happens to cause – and if they said that if it went right or left, right, if it bounced right or left, it was the center's fault.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to cause that ball to go right or left? And if that is true, if it's not true, tell me to shut up and correct me.
I agree, you know, but the way I've always done it, the ball shouldn't go right or left if he's on the center.
Yeah.
You know, there is no possible way – that can happen because if you're teaching them and you know everybody's different, but if he's giving him the ball straight back in the center and that ball's going left or right, I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm gonna flip that. I'm gonna say that's the quarterback's fault.
Okay.
Because that means the ball is hitting a different part, you know, something different. Now if the ball goes straight back, if it goes straight back and fall, I'm kind of putting that on the center because one, that means the connection wasn't there. You didn't give the quarterback the ball. You know, you short arm your snap because you're so worried about the second part of your job.
Cool.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So let's get into the step. So one of, you know, our mentor, who coaches both, said that, you know, the dumbest thing you can do that he's ever seen, like I physically think he says
my gosh,
the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
God.
And he's not wrong, is when you see a kid warming up at center, and he snaps the ball, and he just looks back at the quarterback, whoever's catching it. And then he gets the ball. His feet never move. He snaps the ball, and he looks back because he's absolutely right. It's not realistic at all. Like, every single time, and you're going to – I'm certain you're going to back this up and make this sound even better, they should be moving with a snap. They should not only be practicing their snap, but their step, because they don't just snap the ball back there and they're done like a long snapper does in high school. You know what I'm saying?
And honestly – even a long snapper, you're not just really snapping and standing there unless it's field goal or something like that. But you know, but dude, you don't know how many times I've been to, you know, high school games and, you know, just walking around, you know, whether in the stands or, you know, being on the field with, you know, people that I know, and I'm watching the center just snap and just stand there.
Yeah.
You know, or and I may be going too far, and I'll say this and be quiet because it's on my brain and we'll talk about it later. Or he snaps, stands there, and he doesn't do anything with his hands.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
you know, this is not backyard football.
Well, it doesn't teach you anything. So what I want you to do for us, for the listener, is to tell me, you know, we're going to talk. You can talk very briefly about each of them, but all the different steps that he's going to take, you know, step down, block right, down or out, you know, base block right, base block left, down block, whatever you want to call them, however you want to do it, a pull. Because I think the pulling can be a huge thing for a really good offense, pass blocking, and any other steps you can think of. If you could just run us through them each, like kind of briefly, how many, another question that I would have is in the progression, like say I'm going to warm up, what should a center's warm up look like?
Okay, so let's start with that. So first off, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't really care whether it's pregame, first day of practice, or whatever, especially in pregame when the quarterback – and this may sound weird, but it's just me. I don't want you to have a ball, okay? I just want you to go on air simulating the snap, simulating everything because, yeah, I get it. You have to get the ball to the quarterback. But at the first, I just want you on air with, you know, perfect steps, just simulating snap of the ball, simulating the step. You know, that's the progression part of me is we're not going to use a ball first. After five or six, then we go, you know, then we work up to the ball.
So you're saying with no ball, I go through the snap with my arm and it simultaneously I'm stepping wherever my steps are. No ball.
No ball. All right. So then after we do that, you know, we add a ball to it, bam. So now I'm going to go kind of get into my terminology a little bit is we're going to work on power steps. All right, we all know a power step is 6 steps.
Okay.
All right, that's just snap, step, punch. Snap, step, punch, 1, 2. All right, make sure you're moving both feet. Make sure you're shooting your hands. Make sure you're doing all that good stuff. All right, that's the first thing. And the second thing is now we're going to do the same thing, but now we're going to go base block right, base block left. All right, we're going to do that 5 or 6 times on both hands. All right, then after that, we get into snapping and then taking – in my terms, in my world, a two-set, you know what a two-set is in pass protection.
Yeah.
All right? Taking a two-set for because personally me, I do not like centers kick sliding. It's not easy.
So tell them what a two-step is for you.
So just real quick, all my pass protection steps have numbers. I stole it from a great guy, and we both know it. So a one-set is a power step in pass protection. Most of the time used for guards with one technique inside, I'm just closing space. All right. A three step is our normal kick side step, but a two set is used for a center or an uncovered guard. All right. To where you literally just take your feet and get them out the dirt.
Yep.
Pick them up, put them down, and you just, you know,
you replace.
You reset. Yeah. You pick up and replace. Because me, I only allow the centers to go left or right.
Yeah.
I don't want my center trying to snap the ball and then kick slide to get all of that because that's when, oh gosh, it's hard for, you know, sometimes high school students to try to snap the ball and then he snaps and try to kick slide. And as he's kick sliding and trying to snap at the same time, now the ball is going to the running back and it looks like it's a direct snap and it's really not. So we go through that in our normal warm ups every day. He snaps it and, you know, just take a two set and work in his hands and then, you know, work in his feet left and right. And that's the warm-up part before practice, before a game. So the perfect time to do it, honestly, and everybody, I know pregame warm-ups are different. When most we do, what is it called? With the receivers, the skill guys. The
ROA?
Merry-go-round. Merry-go-round and warm-ups.
Settle noose or routes on air or I don't know.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it, where the quarterback is just taking, he's just warming up his arm. You know, they're throwing all the routes. That's what I want you doing all your steps. That's the perfect time to do it because you got two centers. You just say, hey, we're going power step right, going inside zone right, inside zone left, all right?
Okay.
Two set. And we're going to get all of them because most of the time, you know, the quarterback's out there, what, for about 10 minutes, you know, just throwing around in that same, you know, that same capacity. So we're going to get as much work as we can, to make sure we're warmed up for practice or slash games or whatever. So that's the progression part of it.
So teach me a pull, because the pull is the coolest thing ever. Because a lot of people don't pull their center, and I think they're losing terrified. Out a lot of leverage. I think because as a defensive guy, front seven defensive guy who's taught it, I think if you don't pull the center, a lot of times you're going to lose. The center can create a leverage advantage in a lot of like, say, okay, give everybody an example. I got a 1 and a 5 to my right. And it's easier to pull that center
than that guard,
than that backside guard, because now the backside guard can block out on that base, different things, especially if you're not in a two back, you don't have two backs to lead on this power. That make, or, you know what I'm saying? You have a back leading for the power with the guard as well. So talk us through how you teach the center pulls.
So thankfully, you know, and I'm grateful, and I'm knocking on wood as we speak now so that my luck does not change. I haven't had a big issue with trying to get centers to pull off. I haven't had that big of an issue, but I'm teaching them the same way I'm teaching guards.
Okay.
It's the same as that way. It's just I always say this. I say this to running back coaches, coordinators, head coaches. Tell the back to don't be so quick in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because especially if we put him in the center, he has a job to do first.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to get the ball to the quarterback. So I don't want him to be trying to get the ball to the quarterback, and by the time he's able to over the line pull or skip pull or, trap pull. I don't think I've ever done a trap pull with a center.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking. But, you know, if he, by the time he can get any pull done, I don't want you up his butt and then everybody's looking at me like, well, why the lineman's not, you know, doing such and such. And it's like, hey, man, tell your back to – slow as like that, you know. But I teach them the same way, and that really helps when we're in warm ups or whatever. And he's using the no ball simulation.
Yeah,
you know, there's nothing in his hand. You know, he's still snapping and moving. And the repetition of that, not being worried about the ball shooting or whatever, is just a part of knowing that hey, I got my job to do. I need to do this technique. Take my forearm, go in the center. The center of my body and still be able to, you know, skip forward and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I love about doing it with no ball is, you know, it kind of speeds up repetition a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on in practice, when I have, usually when they're doing special teams, we go through all this again.
Mm-hmm.
And now now I have a ball, you know, now I have the quarterback back there giving him his cadence. Now I have, you know, the full kind of aspect of the, before the play goes, because for my center, I'm not going to lie, I put a lot of responsibility on my center.
Okay, that was where I was headed.
A lot. Sometimes I feel bad for them, but I really don't. You know. And just real quick, so their responsibility is, as soon as we break the line, his first thing I need to know, everybody need to know, is how many down linemen is it?
Mm-hmm. Is he the one that calls it out?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So when he breaks, bring, four down, four down, four down, four down. Okay. Then he looks between his legs, you know, sees where the quarterback is. And depending on the play, he has to be the one to say, hey, G-pool, you know, C-pool, T-pool. Yeah, he called us. So I put a lot of responsibility on him. I put a lot of responsibility. And I will say, you've kind of made me change my mind on this, and I'm going to start doing this more, is he calls out Mike linebacker. That's his responsibility. You know, and I'm going to do that a lot this year. We're going to do it on every single play.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most of the time we don't point. We just, you know, we point, but we don't point at the same time. They've kind of became fond of each other. So we know in the past, like, hey, 56, 56. You know, we're looking, oh, there's 56. He's the mic. But now, we're doing it every play, you know, because I don't want anybody to be like, oh, well, he calls up my number one as a pass player, you know, all that stuff that we worried about in life. But, you know, the center has to make all those calls. Now, if I feel that it's too much for him and he can't get the job done, then I'm saying, hey, guards, you pick up the slack, all right? The guards can also make the who's pulling call. They should know, you know, they have to know.
Yeah, everybody should know.
You know, but I put a lot of responsibility on the center because that's the – he is, to me personally, he is the motor. He is what makes the car run.
Okay.
You know?
He's so I got two questions. All that good stuff. Two questions to really round this bad boy out. All right, the first one is what is – and you kind of answered it in a little bit. What is the hardest thing that a center has to do? Okay. And then the second one is what does – outside of you know, whoop ass and size and strength, what are the most important? What does a center look like for you? What is the qualities of a good center? What you like? How do you decide? I'm gonna put. I say I got five guys, and I go, man, I'm gonna put this guy in my center for this reason. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So answer those ones for me. We'll round this back.
First question. Crap.
What's the hardest thing to do for a center?
There you go. There you go. Because to me personally, the hardest part of doing for a center, and it takes reps, is if you're going to pull the center, that's the hardest thing.
Okay.
Because it's not.
Is it harder to pull with his, like, to his dominant arm or away from his dominant arm?
So is the hardest thing, especially in that case, is if he's snapping the ball with his right hand, it's for him to pull to the right.
Yeah, that's what I figured. It's just the way the body
naturally turns. So that honestly takes a lot of repetition, especially if I know I'm getting a new center, and it may feel like I'm jumping the gun to get, you know, down the road. But once we, you know, indicate, okay, you can snap the ball, you're consistent with it, that's the first thing I go to. It's now go to pull, because, you know, I pull almost 75-80% of the play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it may be him. So I need you to be able to take the hardest part that I personally think is for you to be able to snap and, you know, pull to the side that you're snapping the ball to, which may be your right hand, and not have any oops and o's or my bad.
No, knowing that that's more difficult, do you do more pull steps? Like, say he's really good at going left or whatever, for whatever reason. Is it this type of thing where, all right, if I get 10 reps of pulls, do I need, because I know I'm pretty solid on the left side, do I need to do 7 to the right and only 3 to the left? Okay.
Yes. Honestly, and this, I know you said 7-3, but me, I'm going 9-1.
Oh, that's extreme.
Because I know what your weakness is.
Yeah.
I know exactly what your weakness, you know, and if I'm trying to figure out, well, you know, why is this happening? You know, why is this doing this? Okay, you know, we even a lot. But if I know for the first 2 days, if your weakness is pulling to the right, I'm going to go at it. I'm not going to run from it. You know, I want to get in it and find it and at least get. I'm not trying to perfect it in 3 days with 9-1. I am just trying to get you to be like, oh, okay, if I do this, okay, that feels a little bit more, you know, a little bit more natural. Yeah, that's all I'm trying to do, you know, because right. I'm not going to lie to you. If it's 9-1, 6 of them are probably going to be terrible.
So the second part was, you know, what qualities make up a center? What makes you decide, other than the ability to snap? Obviously, some people have the natural
ability. I would say consistency.
Yeah. You know, what are some qualities that makes you say, I have five guys in the line, and you're my center for some, you know, what reasons say you're my center, as opposed to a guard or a tackle?
So, obviously, you said it. I'm not going to use a consistency. Obviously, that. But the second part is being able to do 15 things at once, but really once at a time.
Okay.
Meaning he's able to snap the ball. He's able to shoot his offhand. Cause God, you don't understand. People don't understand the importance of that. And I think that's a whole nother podcast in itself about centers, but we'll talk about that later. Being able to do that, being able to move, you know, because we talked about it earlier. If we got a big Samoa Joe, a big Samoan wrestler right here, and he's at center, if he can't move, I'm kind of changing up a lot of stuff. But, you know, being able to move sideways, because that's pretty much kind of what you're doing majority of the time, is moving sideways, left to right.
I agree.
You know, and being able to be smart, being able to know that, if this happens, in not in the middle play, but pre-snap, if the backer that we ID, he walks down and you still got 6 other things identified, but you're saying, hey, you know, that's more important. You know, as I call it, a dog. I mean, everybody's going down. Front side, everybody's going to go down. That's being able to be smart, consistent, and being able to move.
Love it. Love it. All right, got one last question before we wrap it up. One last question. Can anybody learn how to snap?
Yes.
All right, cool.
Yes.
All right.
You have to be willing to teach it.
Yep. This is a great episode. I really enjoyed it. I actually learned probably more from this episode than any other episode we've done so far. And I'm really excited to put this one out. So we're going to end on that note. That's Coach Stockland on coaching centers and getting them right up to play. What was that, Coach?
No, I said that's me.
That's you. All right. This is Coach Kaysen signing out for my guy on the better half over there is Coach Stockland, and we will get with you next time.
Appreciate it, guys.